Our gospel for this day is the gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 25th verse. Here, God speaks about his peace. All this I have spoken while I was still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. These are the words of God for us this day. I invite you to please be seated. As we focus on these words and those precious words that Laura just read from Philippians as well, I invite you to join with me in a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, this day, we lift up our prayers before you. We come into this sanctuary seeking peace. We seek that peace that only you can give, that the world cannot. Even as you've proclaimed that in the world you give, and in your word, you give in a way the world cannot. And so, Lord, we know that people have come into this sanctuary today in the context of a wide variety of life experiences. Some among us may be very unsettled, maybe even troubled, feeling challenged. Lord, bring that special kind of peace into those situations. Some of us come with our hearts filled with joy. Bring that special peace which illuminates our joy. All of us come with varying circumstances. So in each of those circumstances, whatever they may be, let us experience that peace that only you can bring, that peace that truly transcends all understanding and keeps our hearts and minds in you. In your name we pray. Amen. The song we just sang is one that really does speak to my soul. Not only does it cause me to sing, but it soothes my soul. I don't know what impact it has in your lives, but that's the impact it has in mine. I think for me, what makes that hymn, that song, all the more meaningful and so rich is to know the background. Do you know the background of the hymn? If you do, you won't mind hearing it again. And if you don't, I hope you'll agree with me that knowing the circumstances under which the hymn were written provide depth of meaning and significance to the hymn. The author of the hymn is Horatio Spafford. He was a Presbyterian layman from Chicago, lived right here in Chicago way back in the 1800s. He had established a very successful legal practice and he had done very, very well in life. He was also a devout Christian. He was close friends with several evangelists at the time, including Dwight Moody. But Spafford's wealth evaporated rather quickly because he had invested in lakeshore property. He had invested on the banks of Lake Michigan, and he, among many others, fell victim, his property did, to the great Chicago fire of 1871. Overnight, all of his earthly wealth was gone. Not only that, but in a saga reminiscent of what Job encountered, it was just the year before that his son had died, right before that financial disaster. And more was yet to come. Desiring a rest for his wife and their four daughters, he desired to join Moody over in England on one of their campaigns in Great Britain. Spafford planned a European trip for his family back in the year 1873, a couple of years after the fire. In November of that year, due to an unexpected last-minute business engagement, he had to forego his going on the trip. When his wife and daughters left, he planned to go just a few days later. On November 22nd, the ship was struck by an English vessel, and it sunk in just 12 minutes. His wife survived, but none of the daughters survived. When Mrs. Spafford finally reached Wales, she cabled back to her husband, who knew nothing of the tragedy, saved alone. Spafford left immediately to join his wife. This hymn, according to history, was penned while he was sailing over to Wales at about the spot they calculated where the ship his daughters had been on had gone down and sunk and they died. Another daughter was born to them several years later, and a son was also born to them several years later who died from scarlet fever. After the birth of their daughter Grace in 1881, Spafford and his wife moved to Jerusalem out of a deep interest in the Holy Land. There they established what is known as the American Colony, a Christian utopian society engaged in philanthropic activities among the Jews and the Muslims and the Christians way back in the late 1800s. After decades of benevolent activities and striving for peace, they eventually, in the 1950s, closed the communal part of that, but the work went on through an organization known as the American Colony Hotel. It was the first home of the talks between Palestine and Israel that eventually led to the 1983 Oslo Peace Accord. So from tragedy, God worked peace that transcends earthly understanding. Not only did the hymn writer know the peace of God, but God continued to work and strive through him, engaging in peace not only for his own soul, but striving for peace that the world might experience. Against that backdrop, perhaps the words of that opening hymn mean even more. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. The Apostle Paul spoke of that, did he not? When he said that, I have learned in plenty and in want to be content and at peace with God. Jesus, when he was facing turmoil in his life, and in the world around him, he spoke these words of assurance, leading to peace for his disciples. Those words that you hear from John 14, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. John 14 begins, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. Believe also in God. In my Father's home house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" That's the beginning of chapter 14. And then these verses that come toward the end, instructing his disciples on what it was that and how it was that they were to lead their lives. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. So I don't know about you, but for me, one of the things that helps me remember words or phrases that I think will be valuable in the future is to use mnemonic devices. They're memory tools. And I use those a lot, not only to remember names, but I use those for a lot of life lessons. And you do too, don't you? I mean, for example, you as teachers, I know, have used the phrase, I before E, except after C, okay? And leaves of three, leave them be. Yeah. So those phrases help. One phrase that's been a common one for me in ministry has been how to look at ego. Do I look at it as edging, using an acrostic, edging God out or exalting God only? So I don't know what acrostic devices or mnemonic devices or memory tools you use, but I'd like to engage you today in using your own constructed mnemonic device, an acrostic using the word peace. Now, I could fill in the blanks for you, but I'm going to let this be an exercise in which you are engaged. In your bulletin, the Prayer and Action Guide, you have a sermon notes section. And I'd like to encourage you, this is not an obligatory thing. It's not. This is sort of a pass-fail course that we're doing today. And I'll let you know up front, you're all going to pass, okay? So what I'd like you to do is fill in your own words. If you were to build your own acrostic to help you remember what we're learning about peace today, what word or phrase would you use? I'll give you just a second to construct or put in your own word. And now I'll tell you mine. The word I would put in, but you put in your own, would be pause or ponder. I'd use pause or ponder. Why? Because in the Bible, Psalm 46, verse 10, it says, be still, in other words, pause, and know that I am God. Jesus often went away to pause and pray. That might not be a bad word either. Pray. Yeah, that might work. He did that. And when Jesus prayed, it was a pause. It was a time of pondering. It was a time of interacting with God. So it was a time in which he engaged in the kind of peace that only God can bring. What would you use for E? What word might you use? I use the word exhale. I use that because in the Bible it says, let everything that breathes praise the Lord. As we sing our songs, then sing my soul. And how many spiritual exercises use breathing exercises to allow us to breathe in the air that God has given us, to breathe out, to let things go? I remember back in Faith Incubators days, we had this this exercise we did with our confirmation students where we do breathing, spiritual breathing exercises. And when we did that, we focused on God's word. We breathed it in. And then we exhaled, let go of all those things that we needed to let go of. And it was a way of experiencing peace. What word would you use or phrase would you use for A? I used two words. I used after a while. Isn't that the way it works in our lives? We seek immediate peace, like we seek so many things in life immediately, right? We want it right now. But God doesn't promise peace simultaneously necessarily. Sometimes it comes that way. But lots of times Scripture tells us after a little while, you will experience these things. That's what Jesus was doing in John 14. He was coaching, mentoring his disciples to prepare them for what was going to be happening after a while. One of my favorite after a while passages of Scripture is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. I want you to hear these words from 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 9, and hear them in the word, in the context of the kind of peace that God can bring. Praise, that wouldn't be a bad word either. That would work. Praise be to God the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and to an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, which is kept in heaven for you. God's power, who by faith are being shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time after a while. In this you greatly rejoice, though now you may have to suffer various trials, so that these have come, so that your faith, of greater worth and value than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not now see him, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Jesus is prepping them for all that is to happen after a while. So what word would you use for see? I think the obvious one is Christ. So the genuineness of your faith in Christ Jesus may redound to praise and honor and glory. And what word would you use for E? You can use any word you want. But it seems to me that eternally is a great way to finish. Eternally. That's the essence of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. All of these things that happen in our lives are preparation for what God has in store for us eternally. So this day, as we pause or ponder God's peace, as we exhale and let go of those things that would take away peace, as we think about how God does bring sometimes these things after a while, he brings it through his Son, Jesus Christ. And he puts it all into perspective, our earthly life as well as our heavenly life, by the promise that comes eternally. That's when Philippians 4, verse 7 comes to life, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So, what might that peace look like? Might it look something like this?
A truck driver will head to jail next week to begin a 180-day sentence for a horrific distracted driving crash that killed a Minnesota couple and their three children. Now, you're probably thinking, that's a short sentence, and it is, but there's a reason behind it. Carol Evans Canterdall has a story of faith and forgiveness.
My name is Cedric Pals. I am the father of Jameson Pals.
Nearly 2 years after the crash that killed his son, daughter-in-law, and three grandkids, Rick Pals and his wife still struggle.
I struggle to find the words that describe the grief that gripped me.
The Minnesota family's journey to missionary training in Colorado was cut short in Nebraska when a semi-truck slammed into them from behind, igniting a fire.
There were no survivors.
Rick still struggles to read the victim impact statement he wrote to the man responsible, semi-driver Tony Weekly, but he didn't struggle with his message.
I know how much God has forgiven me. How can I not forgive you?
Rick delivered that message in court on Friday, asking the judge for leniency, and he wasn't alone.
We asked the court will give the maximum allowable grace.
Gordy and Nancy Engel, Catherine Powell's parents, also wrote a letter asking for mercy.
You know, we've had people say, well, you have to be super Christians. No, it's not about us being, we're just plain people. But we have a super God that just lifted us up through that. And
that is how we can walk this path. It's because we have hope.
Everybody makes mistakes, and he didn't start out that day planning on killing her children.
And so instead of 5 to 9 years in prison, the judge gave Weekly 2 years probation and 180 days in jail. And after, the Pals gave him a hug.
I was kind of worried. I thought, well, maybe when I see him, I won't be so forgiving. But, you know, it was just the opposite. It instilled in me more of a desire to be at peace with him.
I'll leave you with those three words: forgiveness, mercy, hope.
That photo between the Pals and Tony Weekly and his wife you just saw there certainly says a lot. And during that time after the sentencing, they say he also told them how sorry he was for the crash and said he prays for all the families impacted every day. Now, it's worth noting that the Pals' words meant a lot to the judge. The prosecutor and first responders all advocated for a longer sentence. Randy.
Boy, amazing story. All right. Thank you, Kent.
Kent. in that story is a nephew of Shay's and mine. He shares messages of God's forgiveness and God's peace through the news media. The peace of God that transcends all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's peace that goes beyond earthly understanding. That's divine peace. And that kind of peace is a gift from God. This last week, I was preparing for a softball tournament that's coming up, and I was in the outfield shagging fly balls with one of the other outfielders, and Daryl happens to be African-American, and I hadn't seen Daryl in a while, and he said, "Hey, Rev," they call me the Rev because they know I'm a pastor. "Hey, Rev, I'm a new person." And I said, "Well, Daryl, what do you mean?" He said, I've had a spiritual awakening. I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Rev, I'm a new man. I was harboring some bad stuff inside, but I asked God to forgive me, and I asked God to help me let go of some of that stuff. And I woke up one day and I was a new man, and I'm spiritually new." And I said, "Wow." I said, "Daryl, that's fantastic." I prayed with Daryl in the past, and we've had some great conversations, but this was something new. And I said, what does that look like for you, Daryl?" And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what that looks like. You see that guy over there?" It was a guy on a different team. He said, "Last year, that guy came up to me and called me a nigger. And the first thing I did when I saw him today was I went up to him and I gave him a hug. And I told him I care about him. And I expect we'll have some more conversations." But there was a kind of peace that was in Daryl's life that I hadn't experienced before. There was a time in Good Shepherd's life 25 years ago when Good Shepherd was going through a challenging time. Some of you here remember that challenging time. Some might even call it a troubling time. It was at just such a time as that that Good Shepherd experienced Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, that kind of peace that transcends understanding, when God called an interim pastor to Good Shepherd by the name of Pastor Vic Brandt. God used Vic Brandt's discerning, calm demeanor and his incredible wisdom to bring peace and restore peace to Good Shepherd. Good Shepherd experienced Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And we will forever be grateful for that peace that God brought here to Good Shepherd some 25 years ago through Pastor Vic Brandt. Pastor Brandt passed away this last week. He was truly a man of God, and we thank God for the peace that he brought to this place at a time when we needed it. Once there was a young woman named Mary. And one day an angel came to her with a message of peace. He told her not to be afraid. And yet when he told her what he told her, the Bible says she was greatly troubled. That's a nice way of saying she was scared out of her mind. She really was. Left to her earthly inclinations, but God through the angel brought peace. It was through God's peace that passes all human understanding that he enabled Mary to have the peace that eventually brought the Savior into the world. Once there was a disciple named Peter who spent a considerable amount of time with his rabbi named Jesus. And this Savior continued to bring into Peter's life messages of peace, like the day they were out on the lake and a horrific storm came up and the rabbi was just sleeping in the boat and they were anything but peaceful in the midst of that chaos and they could not experience peace until Jesus awoke and calmed the storm and brought peace. Once there was a Christian band named Switchfoot. And John Foreman, the lead singer of Switchfoot, tells about a time when they were playing a set at a concert. And toward the end of the night, the lights went out. The microphones and the amplification system still worked, but the lighting console had crashed. He says, in that uncertain moment, something beautiful happened. The entire crowd began to light the stage with their cell phones and their cigarette lighters. It was truly magic. A crowd of strangers knit together in a moment of pure, spontaneous beauty and peace. An unplanned instant of joy that was born out of chaos. He goes on to talk about the chaos and the need he had for control. This incredible, brilliant flash of joy transcended the otherwise broken plans. Foreman says that when the lights came back on, it was like waking up from a dream. The connected feeling disappeared. He joked that maybe they should turn the lights back off, but you couldn't repeat the moment. He also added, "It is in the beautiful, terrible mystery of life where our story takes place. Songs are crafted out of chaos. I dance with my daughter in my arms, while meanwhile, explosions echo in the streets of Palestine, and an earthquake erupts north of India. This is the messy canvas of our existence, the chaotic battlefield where our journeys take place." Foreman finished by saying, "In this terrifying middle ground between what I know and what I do not know, that's where life happens, where relationships rise and fall, where empires succeed or meet their demise. These are the deep waters, the glorious, terrible space between the mirage and the facts, between waking and the dream. This is where we live and where our songs are born. This is our borning cry. This is where God causes our souls to sing. Once there was a world in which the world experienced all kinds of natural disasters, like wildfires out west and floods in the east and earthquakes in other parts of the world, and volcanoes in a paradise-like place like Hawaii and Guatemala. And God used a ministry called Lutheran Disaster Relief to bring aid and peace to troubled peoples in troubled times. God has used Good Shepherd as an agent of peace in supporting that ministry. And just this week, Lutheran Disaster Relief was recognized by the world when they received a $7.3 million grant for the work they're doing to continue to restore the aftermath of Hurricane Harvey in Texas. Lutheran Disaster Relief received that grant because 94 cents of every dollar goes directly to relief. And why and how? Because so many volunteers are part of that ministry, and they are always on site as soon as the disaster hits, whether it's national or international. Lutheran Disaster Relief, supported by the ELCA, does an incredible job of bringing peace into troubled, chaotic situations. Once there was a church named Good Shepherd in Naperville, Illinois, and they had a Serving in the Summer initiative. And they were challenged during the summer of 2018, their summer of serving. In fact, the challenge was quite specific, revealed as a 2020 challenge. In other words, involve 2,020 people specifically serving in ways sometimes big, sometimes small, but in some special intentional way. Some put together blessing bags for the homeless, filled with things like water and energy bars and toilet paper and toothpaste and toothbrushes and kind of basic human needs, and distributed that to the homeless in Chicago. Some worked for Rebuilding Together, cleaning up backyards or working on homes that were in need of repair for people who were low income and or disabled, and it made a difference. Some worked with Feed My Starving Children, and some designed their own special projects for neighbors. Some filled out little cards that were available in the narthex to inspire others to do something creative, to be intentional and help. Some who were savvy and very smart servants serving in the summer figured out ways to complete a Thrivent Action grant and received $250 per Thrivent member per project. And that was just for being smart, savvy servants. I wonder just how many smart, savvy, spirit-filled servants Good Shepherd has. Time will tell. And so will the hands completed by these smart, savvy, spirit-filled servants serving this summer. And as we tell our stories of faith and forgiveness that lead to peace, I wonder today, what is your peace story? What is the way in which you will personally experience God's peace that passes all understanding? And what is the way in which God will use you to share that peace with someone else? That peace that leads to praise. As verse 3 that we are to sing in just a moment of When Peace Like a River says, He lives, oh the bliss of that glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. That is praise and peace that allows our souls to sing. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, this day we desire your peace, that we might sing your praises. Fill our hearts with that peace that passes understanding, that our lives, our hearts might be focused on Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, the one who brings peace. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we proclaim our faith this day through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God.